and welcome to this special CertSecurity.com integration of Networking and Security School podcast sponsored by Nokia. I'm Eric Parizeau. In this podcast, we're going to focus on real-world best practices for securing remote offices. There's certainly no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to remote office security, so today we're going to discuss how one IT pro went about choosing endpoint security products, the impact major vendors are having on the market, and the importance of agentless technology. Joining us today are David Strom, a renowned network security expert and author, and David O'Berry, Director of Information Technology Systems and Services for the South Carolina Department of Probation, Parole, and Patent Services. And now, here's David Strom.
Thanks, Eric. Really appreciate being on your podcast. We decided to make it easier for you by having everybody named David on here. But I think you can pick us apart. We have very different accents. David O., give us a flavor of your landscape there. You've got a bunch of different remote offices that you've got equipment in. I guess you've got equipment in various courtrooms and various facilities around the state.
Absolutely. In our situation, we started off with 56 remote offices, which in and of itself is a bit of a challenge. But we, at that point in time, decided that to pursue a situation whereby we could allow our officers to give judges real-time data in the courtrooms. And so working along with the judicial department here in South Carolina, we were able to give them internet access in those locations through judicial. And then at that point in time, we had to somehow bring them back here securely and get them into our organization and into our data from the courts at that point in time. So it was 56 remote offices that then, you know, morphed into 56 plus 46, and then eventually we went to where every one of our agents is able to be, remote at this point in time from wherever they are, whether that be in South Carolina or traveling or wherever they are at this point in time. So essentially we're anywhere they can get to the internet, they can't get back to their resources here currently.
So what did you consider? You're looking currently at both Juniper and Concentry, although you haven't made any decisions yet, but you're looking in that direction for endpoint security. So what process did you go through before you're picking up the final vendor for your solution?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we look at execution of security as the base fundamental of what we do. So we, you know, a lot of companies are kind of bolt-on security and have always kind of been bolt-on security. Juniper's acquisition of NetScreen and NetScreen came from security has always put them in good stead with our organization as it relates to just doing our research with different products, whether that be the SSL situation, whether that be firewalls, now universal access control. I mean, all of these different types of things. Concentry is kind of a newer product, but I believe has a really good, interesting way of handling the center of the network in a situation where maybe you can or cannot control all of the endpoints. So my whole philosophy in that situation is endpoints and flow points. And currently, Juniper, with its adherence to the Trusted Computing Group standards, as well as Concentry, give me that kind of overall visibility. So that really put them in heavy, you know, contention for the entire holistic view of security in my network.
So open standards is very important to you. Is that because you want to have the option down the road to swap this stuff out, or you just don't want to get locked into what Microsoft and Cisco are doing?
Lock-in is a Greek tragedy waiting to happen, you know. I mean, in that
situation, especially if I'm talking to somebody from the parole board.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, we anytime someone's locked in, that's bad, right? So, you know, our goal as an agency is to make people productive members of society, to have them contributing back. So we kind of take that same view with regards to the network. We want people that play nice together and everybody gets along. But in reality, what happens is that every company wants to be Cisco to some degree. You know, they just realize that in this evolving market right now, and this evolving awareness from customers and consumers, you can't really do that. You really need to play with the open standards, because that gives you entree into different areas where you can then work with a Concentry. Juniper can work with Concentry. They can work with HP. There is no way that, I mean, this is, of course, my humble opinion, there's just no way that one company can really fit the bill for the whole deal. And if they're telling you they can, they're they're not maybe
they're
intentionally
lying.
Misleading you, but they definitely are down the wrong path here. And I think it makes them lazy. I got to be, you know, that's my blunt assessment. When companies lock you in, they can get lazy. And you surely don't want them getting lazy on security, because that's the last place you can take that chance.
I think not only do they get lazy, but it also gets expensive. If you implement an all Cisco solution, it would probably end up costing you millions of dollars, given the network.
Well, you know, the question is SmartNet really that smart, right? I mean, you know, that's what it comes down to. And when we look at things, and I have been a Cisco shop at one point in time, I currently have one small Cisco box left in my network. So that's not because Cisco's a bad company. It's just when we begin to look at things from a cost-aggressive perspective for the state of South Carolina, we had to make choices that gave me the functionality for the dollars that I could expend that made a lot of sense over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. We use HP switches currently. We use Juniper routers at this point in time. We use Juniper firewalls at this point in time. We use a Citrix SSL VPN because it allowed us to do really aggressive pricing for what we were looking at that point in time. But having said that, longer term, if you are dependent only on Microsoft and Cisco in that situation, not only is it going to be expensive, but you know, the reason that the Irish potato famine happens because everybody grew the same kind of potato because it seemed to be okay to do. At some point in time, there's going to be a blight hit that potato, which you've seen with Microsoft over and over again. That's a really crazy analogy, but I mean, I borrowed it from someone, but that is really accurate in the grand scheme of things. People say homogeneous security is great because you only have to worry about configuring one thing. Well, that is that's lazy. That's lazy on our part from the information technology perspective, because if we can't make it work together, and it does work together adhering to standards, if we can't make it work together, then we're just trying to take the easy way out, at which point in time one single vulnerability for what we're doing can possibly turn your whole network upside down, your whole enterprise. And that's a business killer. That's not a business killer necessarily right now, but these security threats are evolving at an incredibly rapid pace. And if you miss it, man, it will kill you.
Mm-hmm. Have you had infections that spread across your network that have motivated you to go with endpoint security?
Well, you know, we've been lucky. We've done defense. Now, I won't say lucky. I will say lucky, because, you know, you can be as good as it gets and it still can hammer you. But I've had one in probably 10 years here. We do defense in depth, and we also have the bend don't break, you know, Dallas Cowboys flex defense situation, which is I try to get as much visibility as I can at every node in my network. So while, you know, some people are just now getting on the whole disk encryption bandwagon, we've been doing that for 2 years with our mobile platforms. While some folks are just now getting on the HIPS thing, we've had that integrated in testing for, you know, well over a year. We have McAfee's Policy Enforcer, all of these different things that we do 5 different layers of AV. And so in that whole time, I've got hit one time early on in my career here with only 13 machines with a worm that we stopped quick. It was Natchi, actually. But that didn't do anything other than slow us down slightly, and it actually came from someone that had been off on leave. Everything had been patched, but they had been off on leave for over 2 weeks, and the machine happened to be off. They flipped it on, and it just got, you know, it started that chain reaction. But again, 13 out of 850 machines at that point in time. And so I'm not saying we don't get individual virus infections, but we take every precaution we can to hem that off and to handle those issues as they come up. And we do get a lot of visibility because we put the time in to make sure that we have the protections in place.
Mm-hmm. One last question. We're almost out of time, David. How important is the agentless approach to you? I imagine with all those remote offices and with different agents and different human agents that you really can't manage all those desktops.
Right, absolutely. I think longer term, agentless is going to be the only way that you can really handle these things going forward, because right now, information technology has kind of put not the profession, but the actual where we're at with information technology as a whole has kind of put us at the edge of a digital abyss in some ways, which means to me that we have really progressed way past what we should be able to do functionality-wise while not bringing up the level of education. So the only way we're going to be able to get a handle on this longer term, things like blue pill, you know, hardware hacking, firmware issues as it relates to rootkits and things like that, is to have something down there that's not only verifying those endpoints, but that does it easily and without having to sit there and worry about pushing out 15 million different agents all over the place. Longer term, I think that's the only way you can really handle that issue in some type of seamless manner without impacting people to the point that they don't want to use security because it's too hard.
Thank you very much, David. I think these are all very good points. Back to you, Eric.
All right, great. Today's lesson for the day, vendor lock-in is bad, prisoner lock-in is good. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Again, that's network security expert David Strom and the state of South Carolina's David O'Berry. Thank you both.
Thank you.
For more materials in our Integration of Networking and Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/netsec. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our website at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks once again to our sponsor, Nokia, and thanks to you for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.